With me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. We want to read the first three verses of this passage. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. But I want to emphasize in this short reading, verse 2, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. When we look at the word of God and we see our Lord, he had many people who followed him. They were a fickle bunch, to say the least. During the course of his earthly ministry, he was followed by vast crowds. A lot of times, he was followed by just a faithful few. But as the course of Christ's ministry became clear, even his disciples became guilty of running away from him when the pressure became too great for them. We are told on the night he was arrested, they forsook him and fled. And after the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, only two of his disciples, the Bible tells us, followed him. The rest fled. As a matter of fact, Peter, the Bible says, followed him afar off. Peter was the one, you know, who denied him the three times. By the time the Lord Jesus Christ arrived at the cross, only one of his disciples was there, John, the beloved disciple. And so, as we follow his ministry, and the Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross, his body is removed and is taken to the tomb of a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. As that dark, dark day closes, not one of the 12 men who he had chosen was with him. By the time he dies on the cross and he's buried in his tomb, not a single one of the 12 chosen is there. But even though the number of the Lord's followers fluctuated from thousands to a handful, there was a group that seemed to always be with him. Our passage mentions a dedicated group of women that followed the ministry of our Lord Jesus. These women offered him financial support and, above all, absolute devotion. In fact, one of these women, Mary Magdalene, seemed to have followed him everywhere. She was with him during his ministry. She also seemed to she was there at his feet while he was hanging on the cross. She followed his body to the tomb and sat outside his tomb after he was buried. She was also among the first to return to the tomb following the Sabbath. She was the first one to whom he appeared when he arose from the dead. And so while others forsook the Lord, she remained faithful to him. When others ran away, she stayed. What was it that produced this kind of devotion in the life of Mary? I think the Bible has the answer to that question. And so tonight I want to look at this woman's life. I want to find out what happened to her to make her love Jesus so. I want to see if I can get a little of what she had. I want to see if I can get and understand what made her so devoted to the person of Jesus Christ. And I believe that there is a word from God here for every person in this congregation and everyone viewing by television this evening. And so I want to speak to you on the theme, a woman called Mary. A woman called Mary. May we pray, Father, may the entrance of your word give light. And may you use this word to speak to hearts even this evening, that they might open their hearts and receive the Christ of God and be devoted to him. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. A woman called Mary. Note with me, first of all, that she was a desperate woman. We see her desperation in the horror of her condition. We are told in this particular passage that Mary had 7 demons in her. The number 7 may refer to the actual number, but it also speaks to us of completion. Mary was completely controlled by these demons. They totally possessed her. She was totally under demonic spirits' control. And so Mary, can you imagine that? Not being able to dictate what you want to do, but being dictated to by spirits within your mind, within your very soul. No doubt they drew her into vile sin and a lifestyle. Maybe she did not want to go down those roads, but she had to. She didn't have a choice. Can you imagine the horror of that condition? But not only do we see the horror of her condition, we see the hopelessness of her condition. In a lost state, controlled as she were by these demons, Mary had no hope of salvation. She had been cut off from the temple worship. She had been cut off from carrying her sacrifices to the temple. She had been cut off, no doubt, from decent society. She had nothing to look forward to but a life of sin and insanity, followed by an eternity in hell. She was living a hopeless life. But not only do we see her desperation and the horror of her condition and the hopelessness of her condition, we see the helplessness of her condition. Since she was under the control of the demons, she was powerless to change her life. She was trapped and totally helpless in her enslaved condition. Think about that. Trapped. Have you ever been trapped somewhere? I've been trapped in an elevator a couple of times. That's not a good feeling. They feel like there's no way out. That was her feeling, that she could not get out. These demons had her. The horror of it. The hopelessness of it. The helplessness of her condition. But I want you to think carefully in all of this. Mary, I believe, is a perfect picture of the sinner. The person who was lost without Jesus Christ. And I'm not suggesting if you were here without Christ, or if you were listening to me, that you are demon possessed. But what I am saying to you, my friend, is this. That you are dead in your trespasses and in your sins. That you are powerless to change your condition. You are helpless because you are separated from a holy God. The Bible says that you, if you are without Jesus Christ, that you are dead in trespasses and in sins. You are physically alive, but you are dead spiritually. You are trapped by sin, and there's nothing that you can do about it, my friend. Only the power of Jesus Christ, only through the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God can you be delivered. And so if you are here without Jesus Christ tonight, the Bible says this to you, that you are lost, that you are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and there is a spirit of disobedience that is within you. And you think you might be in control, but you're not. There is a diabolical force. Someone has said that there is the external foe. That's the world system that is molding you and has shaped you into the person that you are. There is an internal foe. That's the flesh. When you want to do good, you can't. Why? Because there is a nature within you that is contrary to the word and to the to God and what He wants you to do. But there is also an infernal foe. That's the devil. He is there with his minions, egging you on to do things that are contrary to the laws of God. And I don't care how good you think you might be, you are lost. You are helpless and hopeless. You are in a horrible condition. And there is nothing you can do about it in your own strength. Like Mary. She was demon possessed. An hopeless condition. But I thank God that's not the end of the story. It wasn't for Mary. And it doesn't have to be for you tonight. The Bible tells us, even though we see her desperate condition, that she was a desperate woman. The Bible also tells us that she was a delivered woman. Note what the passage says. Out of whom went seven devils or demons. We are not told in the Word of God the circumstances surrounding Mary's conversion. There were those who think that in chapter 7, the woman who came to the Lord Jesus in the Pharisee's house, and she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and anointed his feet with the alabaster box of ointment, might have been Mary. We don't know if that is so or not. We don't know the circumstances of her conversion. But we know that at one point in her life, she came into contact with Jesus Christ. And it's amazing that doesn't matter who you might be, you would think that Jesus would not have a contact with a woman like this who was demon possessed. That the Lord Jesus might have only been concerned with the decent, reputable women of Jerusalem and of Israel. But no, this woman who was demon possessed, who had been controlled by demons, went into the presence of Jesus Christ and came out a new woman. She was in darkness. But then she's now in His marvelous light. What did this? What caused this difference? I want to suggest that she experienced the Lord's power. When Jesus reached out to this woman and delivered her, she experienced the power of God. She was instantly delivered from that which had her bound. She was set free. And my friend, if you are here tonight, and sin has you bound, if the diabolical Satan has you bound, if you are continually giving yourself to the things of this flesh and to this life, my friend, to this world system, and there seems to be no way out, I am here to tell you there is a way out. It is through a person that is Jesus Christ. Mary was delivered from her condition, and you can be delivered from your sinful state tonight by the power of the living Christ. And there are many here who can testify of what Jesus Christ did for them. How He redeemed them. And you know them. They are your neighbors. You see them. You know what they used to do. But now they're not living like that anymore. My friend, you can have the same experience that they have, and that Mary experienced. Delivered from this demon possession through the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the sin-cursed scene. Picture this world as a slave market of sin. He comes in and He makes a purchase. And He takes the slave out and He sets them free. That's the way what redeem or redemption means in its various forms. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, wants to redeem you from the power of sin. He wants to redeem you. He wants to take you out. And my friend, He has already paid the price, His precious blood. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And through His death, my friend, if you would come and confess your sins and acknowledge that you are a sinner and turn from your sins and turn to Him, you could experience the deliverance that Mary did. And many of you who might be listening and watching by television this evening, you need this deliverance. Some of you in here, you need deliverance. You are living a wretched life, a miserable life. You might be the life of the party around town. But you know when you go home at night and you lay your head on that pillow, you are wretched. You are empty. Mary was like that. Mary was in a desperate situation. But I thank God she didn't stay that way. She was delivered. She experienced the Lord's power. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you want to be made new? Through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and his shed blood on the cross, my friend, by faith in that, you can be made new tonight. You can be changed. You can be delivered as Mary was. She was a delivered woman. She experienced the Lord's power. And because of that, she experienced the Lord's peace. Think of the confusion that must have filled the heart and mind of this poor woman. Can you imagine 7 demons and each one of them wanting her to go the way they want her to go? The confusion that she must have lived in. All of them trying to control her. But yet when the Lord Jesus touched her, when he saved her, I believe the turmoil in her soul was forever quieted, because only one voice was speaking within her heart now. The Lord Jesus Christ took the pain. He took the turmoil out of her life and gave it order. And you know what? He's still doing that today. He can remove the confusion from your life. He can remove the turmoil out of your life. He can give you the peace that only he can give. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid, my friend. Do you want peace? Do you want deliverance from the turmoil of this life? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has come to give you peace. It's amazing as we look in our world, as we look at in our Bahamas, the upheaval that we see in homes, in our communities, is void of peace. But the Lord Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, has come that you might experience, and that I might experience peace with God. You see, the problems we are having in our world is because man is not only at odds with himself, man is at odds with God. And because that is so, he cannot have peace with himself and with others. But my friend, the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, faith in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God. And my friend, when you experience peace with God, you can experience the peace of God. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known, and the peace of God shall surround to keep your heart and your minds. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. My friend, if you want peace, allow Jesus Christ to deliver your soul. Experience the liberating power of the Son of the living God. And you can have peace. You can have forgiveness of your sins. You can enjoy fellowship, but you need to repent. You need to turn from your sins and turn to him and acknowledge that you have broken and violated his laws, that you are a sinner by nature and by practice. Mary was a delivered woman. She was delivered. She experienced his power in her life. She experienced the Lord's peace. She was a delivered woman. But finally, when we look at this passage, not only do we see that she was a desperate woman and a delivered woman, she was a devoted woman. After she met the Lord Jesus, she is inseparable from him. Notice how her devotion, I want to show from the word of God, her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ is displayed in the Gospels. Note verse 3 of this passage. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Her devotion is seen in her finances. It would appear that she was among these women mentioned here that helped to support the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ financially. When the Lord got her, he got her pocketbook as well. He got all that she had. Is the same true about you? Is it true about me? That the Lord Jesus Christ has all that I have. Mary and these women said, Lord, whatever is mine is thine. And the Bible tells us, what is it that we have not received? We see her devotion and her willingness to give to the Lord Jesus, to share with him all that she has. Is that true of you? Does the Lord Jesus have priority in your life? Does his work have priority in your life? When he delivers you, you show your gratitude by saying, Lord, whatever is mine is yours. Her devotion is seen in her finances, but her devotion is seen in her following. When we look at the Word of God and we look at the Gospels, we find Mary Magdalene with him. She followed him as he ministers. She followed him to Calvary and watches him as he dies in John's Gospel chapter 19. She even follows his body to the tomb and remained there with another Mary, Matthew tells us. In other words, she went as far as it was humanly possible. She followed him to the very end. And I believe that this is the Lord's desire for every believer, everyone who has been experienced his deliverance. He wants us to make him first priority in our lives. And so I'm saying to you tonight, when you come to the Lord Jesus, he wants to be number one. The Bible says, he said, when you come to me, you must deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. And I believe that's one of the chief reasons why many of you have not trusted Jesus Christ. Because you don't want him to be master of your life. You don't want him to be ruler in your life. You want to paddle your own canoe and dictate what you want to do. But my friend, let me tell you, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be totally committed to him. Mary was. Because she understood that this man who can change my life is my life. He wants us to follow him single-mindedly, determinedly. He wants us to live out the name of follower. Mary was not about convenience. Nor was it about a life of ease. For her, it was about love. She loved him for what he had done for her. She wanted to be with him wherever he went. She wanted to be with him. Let me ask you as a believer tonight, is that the desire of your heart? Do you love him? And you want to follow him no matter what it takes? You want to give him your absolute devotion? Is that your heart's desire? She was devoted because she recognized that this man called Jesus changed her life, gave her life, made a difference in her life. She was on the broad road that was leading to destruction. But now she's now on the narrow road that is leading to life. And she is in the right relationship with the God of heaven. So she followed him. Totally and absolutely. Her devotion is seen in her finances, but also seen in her following. Her devotion is seen in her faithfulness. When all others had gone away, Mary Magdalene was still there. When the woman and the disciples came to the graveyard and found the tomb of Jesus empty, everyone went away except Mary. She stayed behind. And praise God, she was rewarded by having the first encounter with the risen Jesus. She was faithful to him even when others walked away. And the question is, what produced this level
of devotion within our heart for Jesus. It's obvious. All that he had done for her. She loved him with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, with all of her strength. She loved him. What to God that I loved him like that? What to God that you loved him like that? Think about what he's done for you and what he's doing for you. Are you faithful? Am I faithful to the one who has saved me and called me and who keeps me and who provides for me? Am I that faithful? Or when those winds of adversity blows, do I crumble? Or do I become unfaithful in my devotion to him? The Lord Jesus is calling for sinners. Jesus is calling for the saved, for the believers to become faithful to him. Until the Lord Jesus made a difference in this woman's life. That's why she was so devoted to him. That's why she was willing to go to the nth degree to serve him. What a wonderful story. The Lord Jesus Christ takes her from desperation to devotion. How did he do it? By delivering her from her sins. From her captivity to the demons. And he can do the same for you. He can change you. He can make a difference in your life. So let me ask you this question this evening. Where does this message find you tonight? Where does it find you? You can say in this message, I've preached to three possible places that you and I can find ourselves tonight. Are you lost in sin? You can be delivered from this power. You can be delivered from his grips. You can come to an holy God and you can find forgiveness of sins because Jesus Christ paid the penalty on the cross. You can be saved. You can be cleansed if you are willing to say, Lord, here I am a sinner. And I turn from my sins. I repent. And I look to you and I trust you to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And you can experience his power of deliverance in your life this evening. You can have his peace in your heart and in your life. And maybe you are here as a Christian. You are saved and not completely following him like he desires. He can help you make that final step of devotion. Do it tonight. Recommit your heart and life to him. And maybe you are serving him. Maybe you are living. Continue to do that. My friend, a woman called Mary. A life that has a message for us today. She was a desperate woman, but she was a delivered woman. But she was a devoted woman. Let's close as we sing 105. And I want to invite you, those who might be listening and viewing this program, to come to Jesus. 105. Come to Jesus just now, just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you just now. Just now, he will save you. He will save you just now. So if we want to invite you to stand as we sing. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you come and experience the deliverance that Jesus can give to you? 105, as we sing in closing. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. He will save you, he will save you,
If I save you just now, just now, he will save you, he will save you just now.
Let's pause for prayer. And we want you to open your hearts to Jesus, wherever you are. Maybe the piano and the organist can play softly as we pray. The hymn writer says, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. Just now, come to Jesus. Just now, come. The Bible and this song is putting the responsibility on you now to come. Open your heart to Him. Trust Him as your Savior. Father, we thank You that the entrance of Your Word gives light. And we are mindful, O Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit. We thank You, O Lord, that You are a God who is able to deliver. We thank You for the story of Mary. Thank You for the impact and that You made in her life, and for the reality of the change that came about. Thank You that You are still in the business of delivering, even today. And so we pray, Father, for any under the sound of my voice, that they too would recognize their need for the Lord Jesus, and the condition that they're in, and come and experience Your deliverance, experience Your power, experience Your peace, through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, save even tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I sing in closing, He is able, He is able. And the service will be over.
He is able, He is able, He is able just.